It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 362, entitled Faustian Bargain. It was recorded on Monday the 19th of January, 2026. My name is Nathan Wrigley, and today I am joined by co-host Michelle Frechette, but also by Andrew Palmer and Marcus Burnett. Today we're talking about lots of AI. We get really into a whole load of different aspects of AI, whether or not it's a good thing, whether or not it's a bad thing. I talk about the fact that I'm on to episode number 200 of the WP Tavern podcast. We talk about things dropping in WordPress 7 and things being taken away in terms of PHP in the near future. We also talk about the teams, about Gildenburg going away, about the plugin review team and its AI deluge, and a whole lot more. And it's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WP Builds. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. This is the week where there's been no news of any kind on the international stage. So so we're going to do WordPress news instead. So I would take this as a balm. Have this as like your 90 minutes where you can calm down about the furious stuff that's going on internationally. And let's just talk about your favorite CMS platform instead. And in that way, you will feel much calmer. I'm always joined by some fabulous people. Today is no different. Over up, I don't know if it's on my right or left, but over there is Michelle Frechette. How you are? Thanks, Marcus. You're a godsend. Thank you so much for joining me, Michelle. How are you doing?
It's my pleasure. I'm doing well. Thank you. How are you?
Good. Yeah, good. Michelle has like a massive, like pint-sized jar of throat lozenges just to get her through this show. I think last time you were on a couple of weeks ago, or maybe even last week, you went through like 20.
It was last week, yeah. I think I did, yes.
I'll give you a bio.
It's -8 degrees. It's -8 degrees centigrade here today, so.
You've got to do what you've got to do, yeah. So Michelle Frechette is the Executive Director of PostStatus, and in addition to her work at PostStatus, Michelle is the podcast barista at WP Coffee Talk, co-founder of Underrepresented in Tech, creator of WP Speakers and WP Career Pages. She also co-founded Sponsor Me WP and Speed Network Online. She is an author, influencer, frequent organizer, and speaker at WordPress and tech events, and she lives outside of Rochester, New York. She takes nature photographs, and if you want to learn more about her, meet michelle.online is the URL. And thank you, Michelle, for joining us.
My pleasure.
I'm very grateful. I'll go for Andrew next because I can see on the Google Doc that Marcus is updating his his bio in real time. So there's Andrew Palmer. Hi, Andrew. How are you doing?
Hello. Yes, I'm just getting over the flu. Christmas Day. From Christmas Day to the 2nd of January, I couldn't actually get out of bed.
Oh no! Some would say that's ideal, but it doesn't sound ideal.
And some lovely friends bought me chicken noodle soup and some lime cordial and stuff. But my voice is still a bit iffy. But
we will. Never mind. If it breaks down, you can you can do sign language instead and see how that goes. But here's Andrew's bio. Andrew Palmer is the hosting and customer success lead at Atarim. Collaboration with AI. He's also the co-host of the Web Agency Summit, which is happening again this year. I think is it number six of that? I think I saw
it. It is number six, and I've done, this will be my fourth one.
Okay. So, okay.
Yeah,
As we ramp up to that, I will definitely be making, putting it into this podcast and what have you, but put it in your diary now. It's happening from the 27th to the 30th of April. And you're going to be sharing responsibilities with Vito Pelag and Stephanie Hudson over there as well. And also written on here is you're going to be going into CloudFest in a couple of months' time in March as well, which you're excited about.
I am indeed.
Okay, great. So there's Andrew. And Marcus, have you finished? Have you updated your bio? Well, yeah, thumbs off from Marcus.
Okay. Oh, yes.
There's Marcus. He can point to himself, maybe. He's been pointing to everybody else. Yay! Marcus works at Bluehost in professional services. He's also the other half, we should have mentioned it earlier, actually, of the Sponsor Me WP, and is the founder of the WP World. If you want to go and, if you're in any way, shape, or form connected with the WordPress community, go to the WP, so that's a five-letter thing, and then dot world. It's an unusual URL. I've never seen a dot world before, but there you go. The WP dot world.
I'm very excited to find that one.
Yeah, yeah, that is a good one, isn't it? Especially considering that's exactly what you wanted. Yeah, that's perfect.
Well, the WPworld.com will get you there as well. But it's exciting to have a dot world domain.
It's a great website. A good one. And if you're in any way, shape, or form connected with the WordPress community, you know, whether you attend events or you just, you know, just want to sort of hang out with other like-minded people, it's the place to go. It's been a lot of work, a bit of a labor of love, I imagine, Marcus.
It has, but very excited to continue doing it. I think it's just rounded its second year of existence.
Nice.
Put it together a couple of years ago. Got a little antsy over the holiday break and redesigned the homepage and a few other things, and just continuing to work on adding more features and more things that'll help connect the community.
Nice. Well, we need community more than ever in these fairly interesting times, let's put it that way. Speaking of community, if you want to make the show more interesting, you can certainly do that. Not that the three panelists won't be fabulously interesting.
We're so boring.
I just realized that's my, as those words came out of my mouth and my foot firmly planted itself in it, I thought to myself, but the idea really is, if you want to make some comments, it kind of keeps the show going. You know, if you've got an opinion on something that we talk about, the best way to do that is to head here. Let me just get the right URL. There we go. Ooh, that's ugly. That's not working. Well, there you go.
It should be.
Go to wpbuilds.com/live. wpbuilds.com/live. If you head there, then you've got two options. There's the Google comments over at the right, you know, the YouTube comments. So you need to be logged into a Google account, or click the little live chat button in the video if you haven't got a Google account or what have you. So wpbuilds.com/live. If you're watching this on Twitch or various other platforms, Twitch, actually, the comments come through. We never get sensible comments from Twitch. It's always just some robot. But if you're on Facebook or X or any of those, the comments don't make it back to us. Those platforms have sort of siloed that stuff. So head to that page. It's going to be the best way. And then we can actually, hit my mic. And then we can actually see what you're saying, which is really nice. And a couple of people have joined us already. So Courtney, hello, Courtney. She's saying, she's hand waving cup of coffee and a scarf, I think.
It's colder in Pennsylvania as well.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. And Lana Miro joining us. Good evening. Okay. All right. You must be much further, get it right, Wrigley East than I am.
Lana has a new gig recently too. So congratulations to her.
Oh, well done, Lana. I don't actually know about that, but that's good. Well done. Bravo. What is this background, Marcus, you are being asked by Courtney? Is that where you actually live?
it's my room. It's real. That's fake.
Yeah. The AI is getting very clever.
I think the window is, I think you don't usually have the window in the background. So I think it just looks different. Yeah.
You've got to pivot it slightly.
Is that better?
We've got a different insight there.
The window's throwing too many people off.
it doesn't look messy to me as far as I can see. And then there's a back forth between those two about that. Wrapping up my day already. Good grief. And then Tammy Lister's joining us. We're going to talk about you a little bit, Tammy, and new past is new for you and what have you in a moment as well. Anyway, there's the comments so far. Please feel free, drop them in. If I miss something, because some topics get more traction than others and, you know, the comments move a bit quickly, I apologize. I don't mean to do that, but it's just the way things go. So let's kick in. So this is us, wpbuilds.com. If you fancy keeping in touch with what we're doing, right on our homepage, put your email address in there, click subscribe, and you know how the whole thing goes. Confirm your email address and we'll send you two emails a week. This thing we record, we're recording it now, and then I will spin it out as a podcast episode in the morning at 7 o'clock, so you'll get an email about that. But then on a Thursday as well, we release a podcast episode every Thursday, and we have an archive for that. which is here, and you can see the most three recent episodes was Ray Moray, Sir Dave Foy, as I kept talking about him, and also Michael Campanella. And the most recent one is all about a plugin called Folio Blocks. He's a sort of pro photographer, and he fancied spicing up the way that you can show your photos inside of a WordPress gallery. So it's worth checking out if you want to put images on your website. So that's that. And then the only other bit of self-promotion from me is to say that in a couple of weeks' time, so not quite, in about 10 days' time, so a week on Thursday, WPLDN will be picking up its first slot for 2026. And if you go to wpldn.uk, then you can find out what it's all about. The quickest thing, really, all that we do is sort of say the date and the title and what have you. And then if you click the Get the Tickets link, then we link out to Meetup, who apparently have an enormous thing that I need to accept. There we go. And then it tells you who's going to be on this time around. And this time around, we've got Marcel Boatsman from Kinsta and also Austin Meakin from Amnesty International. So if you fancy joining that, it's an in-person event, Thursday, 29th of Jan in London, central London, starting at 6 p.m. Andrew is a frequent attendee.
So, I am. And it's well worth going if you are around that. I would batter against central London, but it's kind of central London.
Yeah. But to me, it's central London.
Venue, and they worked very hard, and the people, and we had an excellent Christmas one where Filter Agency got beaten by my mate and Michelle's mate, which was very good. Mark.
Yeah. Mark Westcott took on a whole agency and beat them with the AI game. It was very
really good. Entertaining. Really good.
Yeah. It's right. It's near the Shard. So anything which has got tall buildings, I kind of regard as sort of central London. But, you know, it's in zone one. It's fairly near the river. It's a nice location, you know, when it finishes at sort of 8:39 or something, you drinks afterwards. And if you, you know, if you're curious about being in the middle of London, it's really nice. It's a good spot. So come and join us. Details, wpldn.uk. Right. Okay, there we go. The next thing to say then is that every week we offer up the opportunity for the guests to bring their own links if they want to mention a few things. And Andrew's taken us up on that offer. So here's the first one of a couple. First one is WP Align. Now, I don't know anything about this, Andrew, so you're going to have to fill us in.
Well, I don't really want to bring it down, but, you know, there's a great guy. If you go to the About page or About Us, a couple of great guys in the industry, they set up this little hosting company for agencies, really, to help them. And Tom DiBello, I think Marcus knows him, and maybe Michelle would know of him as well. Unfortunately, passed away through a brain tumor. So I just wanted to give a little tribute to him. Worked very hard. WP Align, kind of, they worked for GridPane at one stage and everything, moved away from that. And Bobby Brown's a good guy. So Bobby's now on his own. I don't know what he's doing with the business, but I'm sure that he's struggling on without Tom. But it's just basically a shout out to Tom DiBello, who's a very brave chap. Very funny guy, you know. I spoke with him literally a couple of months ago, you know, and he struggled a lot along with his illness very well, and still a shout out, really, you know, this he can be missed, and he was a very good contributor to WordPress as well and all that kind of stuff. So
thank you, Andrew. Unexpectedly, that's what that one was about. Okay, thank you. So
sorry about that. I did put that in the notes.
I realized that until that point I didn't quite realize it, but there we go. So WP Aligned and Tom.
So support,
I hope the business keeps going.
Have a look, see what they're doing.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. All right, there we go. And then we will move on and go to this next one. Again, brought by Andrew. This is over on Open Channels, formerly kind of Do the Woo. There's a whole thing about that, revitalizing it all. But this is an episode of their podcast with Matt Mullenweg. The title is Matt Mullenweg's WooCommerce Future and Competitive Strengths in Online Commerce. What did you want to mention about this?
Well, I was surprised by Katie's comments on that, and she's very good and everything like that. And you know, James, who's a product owner of WooCommerce as well, kind of talking about WooCommerce, and Katie was complaining about the fact she can't, you know, she said it to Matt, and she's very brave to say stuff to Matt, like, you know, I just can't get to talk about WooCommerce and products and all that kind of stuff. And I was surprised at effectively the naivety of that, because WooCommerce, let's remember, is a product. And if we are allowed to talk about WooCommerce as a product in a talk, then that opens the floodgates to everybody else talking about their products as well.
You're so meaning at live events like...
Like WordPress.
WordCamps. You know,
like for WordPress, and all talk about WooCommerce as a product and all that kind of stuff. But the problem is that, and this is the confusion that we have with WordPress and WordCamps. You know, I've always been an advocate of having a business section of WordCamps, of being able to talk about products, not necessarily promoting them, but saying what you're doing with your products and how you're utilizing WordPress and WooCommerce. Because WooCommerce, if you think about it, although it is a product, it's still free, and then you have to pay for add-ons through the WooCommerce store and all things like that. But it's also a platform for e-commerce for product owners. So we've got to start thinking about WordPress in more commercial terms. You know, we can talk about sponsorships, and we can talk about going to the hallways and seeing all the sponsors and everything, but there is no real advocacy for products, commercial products at WordCamps. And I want that to change. So I was glad that Katie said about WooCommerce, but she did get some pushback from Matt. And that's not all they talked about, but that's what I wanted to talk about, is she got some pushback from Matt saying, well, WooCommerce is a product, so where do we go from there? Because WordCamps don't want to be too product-oriented. Now, CloudFest have addressed this perfectly. It's product-led. And you get a couple of days of that. And now CloudFest on the Monday, for instance, is all about WordPress. And you can be commercial, you can be non-commercial, you can have a developer's day. They've got a developer's day, or they've got a hacker's day, and everything is really, really, really well organized. And I think that WordCamps, I would love to see WordCamps be slightly more commercial, and that even if speakers have to pay to appear, rather than speakers being paid. But it's just something that keeps on coming up, and it happened to come up with one of the co-founders of WordPress, and basically has to be addressed. And I think before any longer, it's just pointless. We need to move forward on it, really.
And essentially a conversation in which one of the parts was sort of commercializing WordPress and how at the moment you can't do that, but your opinion is that in the future it might be nice to explore those options. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Have a business track, basically. Yeah. I think it's been mooted, but I think it's worth talking about.
Okay, capturing it around that word kind of says it all, though, doesn't it? You know, if you're on the business track and that's the room that you walk into, you kind of know what you're getting, right?
Which
Okay, that's interesting. Anybody else, either of the other two, got anything to say on that, or shall I press on? I'll take that as a press on. In that case, we will go here. Which one of you dropped this in? Was this again you, Andrew? Was this
something? Yeah, sorry. I love it.
Keep going.
Andrew was a mate of mine. He basically, I was used to be an SEO chap. That's how I did my business. And that's why my email address is Andrew Palmer, SEO365@something, because it's just, that's what I've always had. He taught me the value of backlinks, the value of internal links, the value of technical SEO. And I love him and I miss him, and lots of people wouldn't do that. But what struck me is, if you read this, is that he was also a lovely community minded chap. And he used to have, up in North of England, a meetup, and it was a good old beer fest as well as, learning about SEO. So it's great. You know, do you want a beer, Andy? Can I buy you a beer, Andy, and you can tell me all about backlinks? Yes, mate, no problem. You know, that's the kind of attitude, and it gets he's a great guy, and again, he'll be sorely missed. But it was
sorely missed.
He made it onto Search Engine Roundtable, kind of says what type of guy he was, and again, cheers to Andy, and thanks a lot for all the advice and all the help and the friendship.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Sorry to bring it down.
No, it's bring down. It's part of the rich tapestry of life, exactly. Isn't it? And, we have to
But I'm also afraid of what the next tab might be.
okay, right, here we go. I'm not sure. Did you drop one in, Michelle? Because if you did...
No. I did that.
No. Okay. Oh, I see. No, the next tab is firmly on is kind of WordPress ground. So here we go. Okay. I think that's the bits and pieces that the host dropped in. Let me just check that that's true. Yes, it is. Okay, there we go. So let's just begin on our sort of WordPressy stuff. We're going to group it into different sections. We've got bits about events towards the end. We've got this little bit of WordPress in general. There's a bit about AI, which we'll drop in the middle as well. But just another quick reminder, if you're watching this and you fancy getting other people involved, send them here, wpbuilds.com/live, and then they can join in the comments, as some of you had already done. Right, okay, so what's this one all about? So this is the repository, Ray Moray, who I mentioned earlier, she'd been on the podcast recently, talking about the fact that WordPress 7.0, believe it or not, is coming around very, very soon. April this year is the date mooted for it, I think. I've highlighted a few bits, which I'll just go through. Jonathan DeRosia called for volunteers to join the WordPress 7.0 release schedule. This represents the sort of normal release cadence, which we stepped away from for a little while there. We're back to hopefully three major releases each year. Remains on track and for April the 9th, obviously subject to change, but it's going to coincide, hopefully, with Contributor Day at WordCamp Asia. Hopefully there'll be a massive red button which people can press in some sort of, you know, fun way of launching it. Smaller release squad, which has been the case in more recent times. This streamlined approach was hoped to sort of make it easier to coordinate between the different teams. However, Ray is at pains to point out that it's not to everybody's liking that reduction in the teams, because the documentation team hasn't been a part of those release squads, and a few people are sort of pushing back, saying that without the documentation team, it's not great. But otherwise, if you want to be a part of this, you've now at least got some dates. If you click on the links in here, you'll be able to find out dates for beta and alpha releases and things like that. But at least at this point, we know kind of where we're headed, April the 9th. Anybody got anything on that before I press on?
If you have any inkling of being part of a release squad, go for it. Yeah. I've done it, I think, three times now, and it's been very rewarding every time.
Yeah, nice. Thank you.
I do have a little comment. I find it amusing that a news site announces WordPress 7. And yes, there is a blog post about it on wordpress.org, I think, or make.wordpress. But there's no tweets, there's no other social media, there's no other kind of publication of we're looking for people, and there is in make.wordpress.com on Slack, but this is a, you know, he's, as I say, Jonathan DeRosa's WordPress 7 call for volunteers on the Make blog, but that should be up until such time as those applications close. That should be featured, I think.
Interesting. Yeah, I wonder if that
real.
Yeah. I wonder if that role was something that the WP Tavern, so Caveat Emptor, I do the podcast for the Tavern, which you'll find out about in a minute. But that used, I don't do any writing, really. I write up the show notes and things for the podcast episodes. But back in the day when Justin and Sarah Gooding were writing, it felt like that was a really credible place that you could go reliably and RSS feed it into your RSS, you know, consuming software of choice. And that was a good way of doing it. But now that hasn't been written on for a little while. Well, a very long while, actually. Mm-hmm. And I think what you're saying, Andrew, is it'd be nice if somewhere on the official channels, the WordPress, make.wordpress.org channels or something like that, people were banging the drum about it bit more.
It was more than just a blog post that disappears amongst all the other blog posts.
Yeah. My understanding is that the WP Tavern is still like, I don't, honestly, I'm going to say this in pure ignorance, but I don't think anything's changed in that. I think the intention is still to get people back onto that, but I don't know how that process would happen. But if you are curious about writing for the Tavern and you can commit to that, it might be worth dropping Matt a tweet or something like that. I think the plan is to get it back, but obviously, you know, fairly busy schedule. Anyway, there we go. That's that. We've got a couple of comments that have dropped in. Oh, that's nice. Courtney's just sort of saying, Marcus, I've removed your head. Can't wait to see you at CloudFest, Andrew. This year's hackathon does not overlap with WP Agency Day, which is quite nice. And then in response to this, piece that we've just done. Tammy Lister saying there's a doc role that is permanent through all releases, like many roles now, just to surface. So docs is getting done. Okay. Thank you, Tammy. That's helpful to know. There was somebody mentioned in here who'd sort of, you know, can't find it.
We also not forget how big WordPress is, how many people do contribute. If you've got any kind of non-knowledge, go to make.wordpress.org or join the Slack channel of make.wordpress. You will see. It's my morning reading to be able to keep up. I know it's boring. It's like reading a dictionary. But honestly, the updates are amazing.
Yeah.
So many people are involved, and so many people are just so busy with it. It's crazy. So
it is insane. It's really insane that any of it hangs together. It's insane. I know, it's nuts. Okay, thank you for the correction, though, Tammy. That's great. I'm going to say Gerard. Is it Gerard? Please tell me it's Gerard. Yeah. Is it Gerard?
It is.
Yay. Gerard, I got it right for the first time. He's a bit late to the party. Hello from Amsterdam. Well, hello indeed. And I got your name right. Tammy's back. Many people contribute to the release without having a role, which bolsters your point, Andrew. Yeah, thank you, Tammy. Okay, then we will move on. Here, next piece. So we'll do this very, very quickly. We just pop it on the screen. Introducing new theme team representatives. There's not a lot to say here apart from the fact that we have these three people who have now put themselves forward and been successful in acquiring that role. And they are, forgive me if I butcher your name, so it's BJ Yadav, Fahim Murshid, and Justin Tadlock, who I just mentioned in terms of the WP Tavern website. So well done. Well done for your success. They'll be leading the themes team during the 2026 period. I don't have anything to add apart from you can go and see their little bios and their experience and what have you. So hopefully we're in good hands there. Anything? No.
No, but again, another thing that WordPress
could do. Yeah. You know, there's loads of these little things.
Another thing. You know, you can never stop the conversation on what's happening in WordPress. It's crazy. Just like,
I'd be really interested to see the analytics on the maybe it's publicly available, I don't know, but I'd be really interested to see what the analytics were for make.wordpress.org. Which pages get
caps as well. Yeah. I mean, just like, God.
Yeah, so many. But little things like this drop, and I'm obsessive about it. I know that the three of you are fairly obsessive about it. Andrew more so, because he reads it all in the morning. But the fact is, you know, I consume all this stuff. I think it's terribly important. I raise it on the show. But loads of posts like this, I just can't put in because, you know, there's just too many things to mention.
So many.
So many. But a few make it. So anyway, well done to you three. And then this is important, I guess, if you're a developer or in some way, you know, connected with client websites or something like that. Important to note that John Blackburn said last week at some point, 10 days ago it was now, WordPress Core is going to be dropping support for PHP 7.2 and 7.3. The hope would be by now, if this is your job working in the WordPress world, that you've probably migrated over to 8 already in some way, shape, or form. If not, you probably need to do that fairly quickly. It'll be dropped on April the 9th. So, the minimum version of PHP will still remain at 8.3, but the new minimum supported version will be PHP 7.4. So you can sort of get away with 7.4, but nothing earlier. But ideally, you want to be up to kind of 8.something. 8.3 is the sort of the bleeding edge at the moment, even though 8.4 and 5 are actually available. And the threshold for that is 5%. The statistics are gathered. I don't know where the statistics are gathered, but they are gathered. And if a PHP version climbs underneath the 5% version, 5% consumption target, then they are retired, and 7.2 and 7.3 combined, so not individually, combined got 4%. So it's time for them to say goodbye. If you want to push to the bleeding edge of PHP, you can, but it's a bit caveat emptor, because really, It's only beta compatibility with 8.4 and 5. You're still looking at 8 through 8.3, really. And if you're worried about security, sites running 7.2 and 3 will remain on the 6.9 branch of WordPress once 7.0 is released. So, you know, you just won't get the latest, greatest, all of the doodads and whatnots that WordPress can bring. So that's all I have. Oh, there's the numbers, by the way, if you're interested. And it just sort of shows that, yeah, 7.3 and 7.4 are kind of right down in the 4% area. The most popular version is 8.2, kind of where you'd hope it to be, really. 8.3, and then a few dangerous souls going out on 8.5. But yeah, time to update. Again, panelists, anything on that?
Yes, I was curious if that is that 4% of like the 43% of the internet, because that's still a lot of websites.
Yeah,
it is still a lot of people that need to get themselves updated. It looks like the numbers are there to support doing this.
Yeah, I just so know if you click on this link, yeah.
When we moved from PHP 5 whatever, I think 7.2 was one of the first ones. So I can imagine a lot of people, you know, jumped straight to 7.2 and hopefully have, you know, continued to update since then. I think the fact that PHP made such a performance jump from 5 point whatever to 7 that people got excited about the performance gains every time and continued to update. Like, I think PHP has continued to get faster basically every PHP update.
Yeah.
So that's kept everybody kind of on the train of updating, hopefully.
If you are a real nerd, you can bookmark this URL. It's wordpress.org/about/stats. And on a daily basis, if you like, you could go in and see where everything is at. I'm not recommending it. It's probably not good for your health. But you could if you wanted to. And here we can see the latest PHP versions. No telemetry here. It doesn't say, you know, there's no sort of opening paragraph about how this data is gathered. So I'm still curious as to how that is gathered. But you can see the PHP version in that pie chart. I guess that sort of spells it out a little bit more, doesn't it? And it says here,
oh, it's a callback. It must be a callback, Nathan.
Yeah, it must be right. Right.
There's no other way that they can get those stats. There's a callback.
But I'm curious as to whether or not it's every single site, you know. I'm not sure if they sort of aggregate it or, you know, take the, I don't know.
I do have one other comment, bringing my commercial mind into this. The update of PHP, any update in WordPress, any update in PHP, is an unquoted profit opportunity. And especially in January, February, people struggle for work. So get your emails out there, advise your clients that they need updating, and charge $10 for it or $20 or something. You know, so it's an unquoted profit opportunity. So, you know, every time we have those little things, it's a chance to get your face in front of your customers.
On that basis, I think the PHP Foundation should issue like maybe twice a day updates, like tiny little updates to PHP.
Don't forget to update.
PHP 8.4.000003. It's very important that you keep up to date. There's another tenner. So anyway, there we go. There was the stats. If you want to bookmark that, you can. And then this is, honestly, this is a bit nerdy, but I think this is kind of cool. This screen in particular, I'm not going to ask you to read it, but this is the only place that I could sort of demonstrate.
Oh, yellow highlighter.
I did actually highlight with yellow. Yeah, that is me. So this is to say that view transitions, hopefully, will be coming inside of a WordPress admin near you. And honestly, I was trying to figure out how I could best show or describe view transitions. And I thought probably the best way to do it is just to go to my own personal website. I've got this thing. And if I click on something like the latest post or something, I don't know if you could see that rather than it being like a fresh page load. There was like
so
this sort
smooth,
of
baby. So
yeah, kind of fade in, but watch this one. This is so not, by the way, this is the default behavior of that plugin. I've literally installed the plugin, activated it and changed nothing. But then if I click the sort of home button link, if you like, at the top, just watch. I don't know if you saw that. It kind of, the title crept back to where it started. If I go to this one, click on that. Can you see it sort of does that? Yep. And the idea really of view transitions then is to make any interface. This is the front end of the website, obviously, is to make it feel a bit more app-like, feel like you've not really gone from one place to another. You've sort of traveled into the next thing without it being a hard reload. And it really does work. Your brain goes somewhere else. It's like this much smoother process. Anyway, The idea of that it will be inside the admin. So it, this, I'll just read. It says here, add view transitions throughout WP admin. This change set enables smooth transitions between different admin screens. For the admin menu items, distinct view transition names are used to facilitate a simple visual slide effect like you've just seen. When the active menu changes between scenes, and it just makes it feel a bit more like a desktop app or something that you might have on your phone. Sorry, say it again, Andrew.
Is it preloading it to be able to transition?
No, I don't believe it is preload. So that's a different notion. That's a sort of browser technology.
Yeah.
So no, I don't believe it is. You can preload things. There are ways of doing that, and I've actually forgotten the name of that API in the browser, but no, I don't believe it is. I think it's doing things after you've clicked, but it certainly looks great, doesn't it? You know, it's got a real different flavor to it, so it'll be a small thing, but kind of nice.
I think the you can see that it's not preloading on your website, because when you click through to the page, it's not animating there, but when you click back, because that's already cached, it's able to work that out and slide the title back into place.
Yeah, I have forgotten the name of the API. So there is this browser API, which is getting broad adoption, Chrome certainly, and it enables you to do things like when you hover over a link, for example, it could prefetch or preload the next page. And again, there's a WordPress performance team plugin for that.
Mm-hmm.
You drop it into WordPress. Oh, I think I actually have dropped it into that site, but it's a click event. It's not like a hover event, because I think that's a bit of a wasteful load. You know, every time somebody hovered, it would prefetch the things in the background, which is a bit of a, you know, it's not great for the environment if I'm just loading everything when a mouse goes anywhere near everything. But anyway, it's a nothing, but also it'll probably look really nice and make WordPress feel a bit revolutionary, you know, and a bit different when you finally get that dropping in 7, hopefully. So there we go. Nerd out time. Right. sorry, this is more self-promotion, but actually not. 200.
WP Tavern.
Yeah, WP Tavern, look at that, yeah. WP Tavern website, the podcast I've been doing for a few years now has finally reached episode number 200. It's got 20 after it, so yay, woohoo, yeah. And I didn't intend for it to be Corey Mass. That is to say, I didn't set out for it to be. I recorded a bunch, and Corey's dropped in as the 200th one, which is really nice, and it kind of drops in because what we're talking about. But if you haven't been to the tavern in a while, then just know that the podcast is still going. I transcribe everything. I can guarantee you that this transcript is what everybody said. I go through every single word. And,
you type these out yourself?
Yeah. Well, I get an AI to make a first pass, but the AI only gets, 95%? And there's no quick way to spot that 5% that's wrong. You have to do it line by line. So I do every single word. Put the commas in, you know, correct the grammar. And actually, I did a podcast episode back maybe a couple of years ago with somebody who was deaf. And they informed me that sometimes this perfectly accurate transcription is not what you want, which was curious. Maybe sometimes you actually want a sort of summary. And if somebody goes off in a random direction and says, maybe a lot, you probably don't want all of that. So there is a little bit of editing that I do to get rid of that. But essentially, it's line by line, word by word, exactly perfect. So if you fancy just checking out our back catalogue, we've got 200 episodes, and there'll be more to come. 201 dropping this week. Anyway, the reason I mentioned it is because Corey was talking to me about how he is starting to use AI. He's a developer, and he's been starting to use AI in his workflow. I guess at some point, if we're all honest, we've all touched AI at some point. I know in our WordPress space, there's an awful lot of people who are getting deeply into it. There's a lot of people who are very skeptical. So this podcast episode was a bit of a launch pad, I should say, for three pieces which follow. The first one comes from James Giroux, who's an automatician, and he's got this piece with a curious title: When N Equals One, the WordPress Economy in the Age of AI. And James's contention here is that we're entering a phase where not just WordPress, but he leans into WordPress, but more broadly, we're going to be, instead of building stuff for, like, I don't know, you build a product, a plugin, because you want to sell it to the masses, we're entering a period more where you build something for yourself and only you. And it will never be used by anybody else. It will just be for you because, I don't know, you've got a particular thing that you need to achieve on your WordPress website. And that's it. You'll just have it. Maybe you'll get rid of it after a period of time because, I don't know, maybe you want to show off your Black Friday sale. And rather than go for a plugin which does something like what you want to do, you build one yourself with AI, and then when the Black Friday thing is over, you get rid of it, delete it, and what have you. So that was kind of an interesting idea. He's not saying that's the only way it can go, because he says that there's definitely a future for people who build, especially build in things which rely on other things. So, for example, like a membership website, you're not going to build that for yourself, are you? That just doesn't make any sense. Or an LMS, you're not going to build that for yourself. So he thinks that the strongest path for survival in the near future of WordPress is companies who build stuff which bind into other people's broader platforms, that kind of thing. So anyway, there's the first piece. And before you all jump in, then I saw this morning, actually, and I thought this is the perfect rebuttal. Ross Wintle, who's a UK developer, works for WP Engine in the UK. I don't know if he read, well, I know that he did read James's piece because he mentioned it at some point. He's saying, no, please don't do this. He leans into the fact that he's got years of experience building with AI. He's tried this sort of stuff before. And he's basically not entirely skeptical, but he's saying, no, please don't build stuff for yourself because you're just really, you're asking for trouble. And you can read his article to see what you think. So my question then to you lot is, what's your opinion on this? Do you think we're entering an era where you build stuff for yourself, or is that, so that's James's contention, or do you more subscribe to Ross? Like, no, that's insane. Buy stuff from people who know what they're doing and use what they've made. So on that bombshell, I'll leave it open to you to discuss.
Well, I think it depends on who's doing the building and the buying, because you will never find me building a plugin or anything using AI, because I don't have any developer chops. I mean, I know some CSS, I know some HTML, just enough to be dangerous, but I'm always going to turn to other people and purchase what I need to make sure that my sites are working and doing what they are intended to do, especially since I don't know how, if I were to get ChatGPT to write something for me, or Claude or whatever, I wouldn't know how to then to go in and update it for newer versions. And so I would be absolutely, you know, cutting myself off at the knees going forward. Now, that said, I'm sure there are audience members who would be writing things for themselves and coming up with little fixes here and there. I'm not one of those people. So it depends on the audience.
Okay. Andrew, Marcus, any thoughts?
Marcus first. I've got some comments. Yeah,
Marcus.
Oh, Andrew has thoughts. I'm just kidding. Of course, Andrew has some thoughts.
Oh, that's brutal, Andrew.
No, I appreciate Andrew's thoughts. I'm excited to hear Andrew's thoughts, but I'll go.
Okay.
I think the answer is it depends as well for me, because I have done some of this and seen some success with it. However, so nice. Here are the two kind of caveats for me. One, I think it depends on who you are. I think if you have, like, I know what I'm asking AI platforms to do, and kind of I've thought through the structure and some of the scaffolding of what needs to happen, because I am a little bit of a developer. I'm not a professional developer. I don't put myself in the bracket of some, you know, really great, you know, plugin authors that we know. But I know enough development that I know which direction that I kind of need to lead Claude or ChatGPT or whatever through. And I know where it has the potential to go off the rails and how I can kind of steer it back onto the rails at those times, where I don't think if you're my 15-year-old daughter that you're going to be able to have the same experience. I mean, you might be able to put something in and get something back, but there are so many ways that could go wrong. And then if you're going to try and share that with, you know, anybody, which I don't think the argument is that you're building these for yourself, right? So maybe she would have success if it was something simple enough that she could ask for it and get something worthwhile back. It, knowing that that's just going to get scrapped, it's not going to be sold or shared with the greater population. So I think it's kind of both. But I think the other half of that is mission criticality. I think if you're building something that it really doesn't affect a whole lot mission critical wise, build it for yourself, use it. You know, maybe you need a calculator that helps you with, you know, how you should price your contract or whatever, your proposal, and you have your own formula and you know how you want to do it and you want to feed it, you know, 50 proposals that you've had in the past because it provides some context for how you do things, and you're not sharing that with anybody else and you just want a little tool for yourself, great, go for it. I think you could probably build that yourself. And then if it goes in the trash, it goes in the trash. But I think if you're building something really mission critical that's going to go out there, that really needs to think about performance, accessibility, security, especially, then that's where I think you'll run into issues. Even if you're just building for yourself, even if you just build something for your own site, but there's some piece of security to that that needs to be thought through, then you might run into some issues there. And that's where, again, who you are helps, right? If you're Tim Nash and you know where all the security problems are and you can steer the AI to kind of help prevent some of those things, then I think you have a better chance. But I think it's both of those. I think it depends on who you are and the mission criticality of what you're building. And if you can kind of, you know, reconcile those two, then I say go for it. But if you don't, I would say hire somebody who knows what they're doing.
Just before we hand it over to Andrew, I think that's really interesting. Sorry. Ross makes the point. I'll just pop his website up. I'm not going to get... He makes a very long argument, but there's a bit in here somewhere where he talks about the kind of, it doesn't really matter what it is that you're building. There's this entire stack of stuff which you're building it on top of, even if you're kind of blind to that. So obviously WordPress has got PHP and a database and all of these kind of things. And so there's more tendrils and there's more updating. And if it's not a disposable thing and it's something that you want to use over a longer period of time, you have to know how it's broken when it breaks, you know, either rebuild it from scratch. But if it's going to become a public facing thing, and well, here we go, we talked about PHP updating, right? If that breaks something, then you got to figure out what that is. And so I do wonder if we're heading into an era where lots and lots of software breaks because inexperienced people built it for just now. Sorry, Marcus.
It's definitely possible. I kind of push back on the maintenance piece just a tiny bit because I think LLMs are so good that I could feed it a changelog and be like, here, figure out where the issues are. And it would do a pretty good job of going through and figuring out, you know, this is not going to work anymore. Let's fix this. So I think to some degree you can feed it information from the updated thing and say, hey, find where the issues are and fix it. Is it going to work 100% of the time every time? Probably not. But is it going to do a pretty good job most of the time? I think so.
Be interesting to see how people can get out in front of that, because obviously the retro fixing of a security problem is not as ideal as the prefix for a security problem. So if you know that PHP 8.5 or 8.6 is going to be updated in this particular way and you get ahead of that, well, that's great. But if it breaks because you go to PHP 8.5 and then you got to fix it and, you know, blah, 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 then that's obviously, you know, this cycle of breaking, and that's kind of
most of us are probably not following PHP changes
AI, that could be a part of it, right? You're just instructed to always keep an eye on PHP changes, and then if anything gets flagged that, you know, the AI thinks you need to be mindful of this. Sorry, Andrew, you've been locked out until now.
At all, Marcus, Marcus and I work together, and this is why I pick his brains occasionally, because it's just like he's got it sussed. My comment is basically more generic. This is one step further from code snippets, right? So we used to make code snippets ourselves. We used to make them all and throw them in a code snippet plugin, whichever one they choose.
Google search, copy paste.
And then again, it's another step from the Abilities API, because with the Abilities API, we can plug into plugins. So we've got the ability to say to a plugin, I don't want you to do that, I want you to do this, because I like your layout or I like the way you do that, that kind of thing. And then when we have MCP talking about updating security protocols, you'll be able to do that on the fly. You'll just say you have an instruction in your LLM, check PHP version, check security, check this, check that, and it'll just update it on the fly as long as your AI LLM payments are up to date, that sort of thing. So, you know, I think we're looking at this too. James looks at it in too simplified way, I think. And the other chap, what's his name, looks at it in too complicated way.
Yeah.
What we're looking for always as WordPress users is solutions that are quick, easy, effective, and secure. That's all we're looking for. And as long as we can ensure that that's going to happen with the Abilities API, whatever the core AI team are doing with MCPs and all of this kind of stuff, I think that we shouldn't discount what James is saying and we shouldn't discount what the other chap is saying, because we're innovative, right? We're looking at WordPress and we're saying, how do we improve it? This is how we improve it, with AI and updating it and doing our own thing. Because there are some unique use cases, some of them I can't explain now because it's too long, but I think both arguments win, frankly.
I don't know if you saw, just related to that, somebody mentioned copy and pasting and what have you from, you know, Google, you know, you find a snippet. I don't know if anybody's caught sight. I caught sight in the last week of a usage of Stack Overflow chart. Yeah. It was like a line graph and it kind of starts in whatever year it was and it goes up and up and up and up. And then it plateaued for a long time. It had obviously reached peak Stack Overflow. This was the amount of people who were actually interested. And then since 2023, it's just fallen off a cliff. So whilst that website is still probably frequented by, I imagine the traffic is still very high, it's nowhere near where it used to be. And the obvious, you know, the obvious answer to that is, well, it's AI. People don't want to go.
Yeah, well, we had someone making people redundant because of AI. Maybe you spoke about this, but it's just AI is going to affect us all, either positively, negatively, or neutrally. And we just have to embrace it and make sure that whatever we're doing, we're using AI to the best effect for us. And I think that's what James is talking about.
Marcus, sorry.
Yeah, I think the only slightly scary part of that for me is that obviously these LLMs were all trained on Stack Overflow and we need that content to continue for us to be able to continue to, you know, feed accurate information to any of these, any of these models. So I do hope that there are still some really great developers out there that are, you know, doing their thing and checking on places like Stack Overflow and answering questions, because that content is super valuable.
Yeah.
Reddit.
And then now Dig's back as well. I don't know if you've seen Dig is now revived. Yeah. And apparently you can get follow links on Dig. So, you know, it's going to become the SEO trough pretty quickly. I don't know how quickly they'll turn those off, but apparently you've got a clamor of people who are just trying to grab handles, username handles, which has got something to do with their field, like SEO expert, and then because it's follow links, like they can anyway. Dig, come on, let's make them no follow, shall we? Webcammy says hello, good morning, nice to have you back from your walk in Seattle, very nice to see you. Courtney saying she's very interested to observe the thoughts. I hope it went well with you there. You were mentioning similar things the last time that you were on the show. And then Tammy says WordPress was built with this tinker build it mentality though. So yeah, it'll be just interesting. I'm just so not convinced that AI is going to be this thing that we all think it is. My personal opinion is that we're going to reach the capacity of VC money to keep it going in the free way that we're all getting used to. I don't know if you saw this week, ChatGPT announced that they're going to start injecting ads. Into what it gives back. So, you know, not only will you get the fun stuff that it gives you back, but have you thought about, I don't know, getting a pizza or something?
That that happened. Is was anybody surprised when you read that?
No, not at all. But also it's kind of not where we've been, and so it is a bit of a shock. I'm concerned that we've got ourselves to the point where we've become so, you know, curious and interested, and then when the faucet of money finally dries up, it'd be interesting to see where we're left with, you know, what kind of fee does AI actually cost to get what you're now getting.
And if it's the broken WordPress websites.
Well, interesting, right? So anyway, I'm not an expert on this, but I'm curious to see in the next few years what happens with all of that. And if we're left with a poorer version of AI because, you know, the environment can't take it or the VC money runs out, we'll certainly find out. Right. Okay, let's move on. The next one then is Yoast. So every time I say Yoast for the next 5 minutes or anybody says Yoast, it's not the company, it's the person.
Go buy the premium subscription to the SEO.
There you go, we got that bit out of the way. You just did the ChatGPT ad. That was brilliant. So Yoast DeVolk, the person, has an article on his personal blog. The silence is deafening. Google's agentic future leaves the WordPress economy behind. And I'll summarize very quickly. I didn't know anything about this, but apparently in the background, Google as a search engine, not really it's Gemini or AI or anything like that. It's been working towards this thing called Universal Commerce Protocol or UCP. And it's and I'll just read because Yoast done a much better job than I have. It's a suite of agentic commerce tools. In plain English, they are building a standard language for AI agents to browse, negotiate, and buy products on behalf of humans. And so the people who've been in the room with that are obviously Google. You know, they're one half of that whole equation. But also Shopify, BigCommerce, Etsy, Wayfair, Walmart, Target, and financial giants Stripe, Visa, and something called Aiden, A-D-Y-E-N, which I confess I've never heard of. And the problem that Yoast is trying to highlight here is that WordPress and WooCommerce are nowhere to be found. And he's saying that he thinks that in the future, I'm guessing that he thinks that in the future, we're going to be more relying on AI to do purchasing for us. And honestly, I was sitting there thinking to myself, there's no way I'm going to be letting an AI buy stuff for me. But then I thought, we've got these websites in the UK. I bet you've got them in North America as well. We've got this one called moneysupermarket.com, right? And you go there if you want to buy, let's say, home insurance. And it sucks in all the data from all the home insurance providers. You tell it what you want. And then it gives you a list of like the top 5, 20, whatever it may be, companies that that fit your criteria. And I thought, I'm already doing it. I'm already letting AI massively influence not AI, but a computer system, you know, a website. And so I thought, well, it's not that much of a stretch, is it? You know, if I went to an AI and said, I need copper piping, I'm repairing my bathroom, source me this type of copper piping and find the best price for me and then just buy it and get it shipped to my home address. What's the difference, really?
Well, you can do it with Alexa already. You can ask Alexa to actually buy from Amazon.
Okay.
You have to set it up with all the permissions and all that kind of stuff. And that's not AI. I can't wait till Alexa does get AI. But I don't think it's a stretch. But I also think Yoast is kind of exaggerating the point, really. It doesn't matter that WooCommerce is involved. Let's think about what WordPress is and what WooCommerce is. It's open source. So that gives everybody an opportunity within the open source market to say, let's have a look at this UPC, whatever it's called, and let's produce the best plugin for that. Or let's produce the best canonical plugin or whatever. You know, it doesn't need to be in the core of WooCommerce. They've got enough things to worry about with, changing permalinks and making sure that other things that are working and all that kind of stuff without having to invest time, money, and effort into developing a UCP system. When you guarantee that once it's out and people figure it out, there'll be a plugin for that. You know, just like we used to say back in the day when we weren't used to phone apps. Oh, I've got an app for that. Because then that's what will happen with the plugin market. I think Yoast is slightly, and he'll probably punch me when he sees me at Cloudflare, but I think he's slightly overstating the fact. And he is bigger than me.
Can I get that on video?
You can be there and watch him punch me. But, you know, I think he's slightly overstating the fact, but in a good way, because he's saying, come on, WooCommerce, let's catch up. Or come on, WordPress, let's catch up and let's be in the room, at least be in the room. But I don't think they need to necessarily be in the room as WooCommerce per se.
Okay.
There's plenty of businesses out there that will take this on for sure.
Yeah. Interesting. Michelle, have you got
interestingly, something? Interestingly, so I stumbled upon something new, at least I think it's new, with Google this weekend. I went to Google to search for Mahjong sets that I could buy locally. And so I was searching for them, and Google popped up and said, would you like me to call the local places to see if they have any in store and send you an email with the results? So I said, sure.
Yes, please.
And that, and they did. They I don't know if it's how they do it, how I'm not a human being. It's some kind of automated something, but I got an email with the results of the fact that there was really no Mahjong sets that you could buy locally.
So at Google I/O about 3 years ago, Google demonstrated this. Now, I don't know if this is what actually happened at the end of that, but 3 years ago, they had this technology ready to roll. But then there were all these concerns about, you know, if you phone up and you fake like you're a human, because when you listen to the basically in the demo, they phoned up a restaurant and booked a table, and the AI was really masquerading as a human being because they had all these fake breaths that they injected. And that, you know, and so basically it was simulating a human being. And so lots of people at that point turned around and said, no, that's just weird. You know, you're not a human being. So maybe they've moved more now towards announcing this is an AI call, but we're trying to book your restaurant. Yeah. Is it possible for us to take this conversation forwards? Mm-hmm. But maybe they've started shipping it. This is the sort of stuff you'll never get this past the EU.
I was so surprised, quite honestly. That's why I was like, I mean, it didn't say there was a fee involved. There was nothing. And like that, no money was exchanged for me to have it do that. So I wanted to see what happened. And
can you imagine how much the data people in Google are rubbing their hands together? Like, we're sitting in the middle of your transactions now. This is great. Mm-hmm. We're enabling your purchasing. And so, you know, how do they decide which company to go for and all of that? And you can imagine Google selling off. We will make your phone ring if somebody does an AI search and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I was just shocked. Yeah.
The point, I take your point, Andrew, that...
I mean, Taco's put up Taco's comment.
Taco's comment, what's he said?
He's typing in my reply.
Okay, so here we go. Taco, who obviously works with Yoast over at Progress Planner, he says, that's not entirely the point, AP, Andrew Palmer. Of course, Woo can integrate with UCP. However, not having a seat at the table determining the standard means Woo, and there's more, means Woo is always behind.
Which I think I said, not having a seat at the table. So Taco, my friend, I think I said not having a seat at the table is more what Yoast is talking about.
Rather than some more fights.
You know, for basically, I mean, you know, he's bigger than me as well.
Punched by Taco too.
That's the point that Yoast is making. Wu not having a seat at the table is an error in judgment. But you know, let's face it, Wu has a CEO and a marketing manager and a product manager. So what are they doing? Are they talking to Google? Do they know Google? Have they got a relationship with them or what?
That's kind of an interesting thought, isn't it? I wonder if this was an invite-only thing. And, you know, this press announcement comes out and it's like, well, we never even got mentioned in that, like, you know, catalogue of people who got invited. That would be interesting.
That's a different problem, though.
It is a very different and easy as well that you would have thought. I suppose I can understand a little bit of what you're saying, Andrew, in that the plugin ecosystem, I mean, we move at a much slower pace in the WordPress space, don't we, than a lot of other, you know, SaaS industries, let's say, where they can, you know, the CEO can make a decision and then all the different trickle effects happen and the thing changes in the way the CEO desires. We just don't have that open source, but it'd be interesting to see. But if this concerns you, I don't know. Like I said, it kind of surprised me that people would volunteer to do AI purchasing. But there we go. Michelle's done it. I've basically told you that I probably do something like that with these aggregating websites. I don't know. If I could cut out the searching, if it was something utilitarian like copper piping, I don't care how it arrives at my door, really. Okay. But what was that?
Groceries.
Groceries, I would probably.
It'll continue to learn more and more about you. So, if you know. I only buy this kind of eggs, but figure out which store nearby has the cheapest cost. You know, if your groceries are coming from five different stores, but you're getting the cheapest of each.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Great. Like having a virtual warehouse, isn't it, Mark?
Right. Yeah. It's kind of exciting. It's very scary at the same time, because obviously you give up that, but you know, there's always the refund kind of option. But for stuff that I care about, you know, stuff that I want to look nice in my home, like a lamp or something like that, I'm never going to let Google make those decisions. But for the utilitarian stuff, I think this will
maybe be not for you, but let it do the search and then
yes, okay, give me the results. Yeah, okay, that's interesting. Yeah, aggregate all of that. Okay, that's fine. Thank you. That's
interesting. It can search a whole lot more sites than you can in less time, right?
Yeah. Although I am pretty good, I have to say.
Very fast.
Searching.
Very good at lamp searches.
The other thing is, if I were to call the 7 or 8 stores that showed up in the list, I would have to call them sequentially. Google can do them all at once. So your response time is much faster.
Do you think Google called several? I was assuming it just found the one and gave you the output of that. You think it did multiple and picked the...
Well, no, it did. It gave me all 7 and said, this does not have it, this does not have it, this likely has it, this does not have it.
Can you imagine the telephone being operated by an AI as well? And those two just get into a chat. It's like, have you got a table? off they go.
That's how the world is destroyed.
But it's an interesting tool, because I have anxiety, as a lot of you know, and one of my biggest anxieties is picking up the phone and talking to strangers on the phone. I overcome it all the time. I have to do it. But if it says to me, do you want me to call these 7 stores and see if this is in stock? Heck yeah. Make those 7 calls. So I'm not over here having a stress mess talking to 17-year-olds who are looking to see what's Mahjong.
Then you've got to explain the game first. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, right. So here's another curious side effect of AI, which has just occurred to me. I don't want that future where 6 out of 7 phone calls are just wasting people's time. You know, I don't want it to be that we can phone 100 people in simultaneously and 99 of them were in some way wasting time, because then we're all just going to be picking up the phone all the time because, you know, Google's phoning or whatever it may be. So yeah, this UCP...
The point here, they will be answered by AI. So.
Well, but also this UCP speaks to it, right? Because there's a protocol where you don't need to make the phone call. You can just go to the protocol and you know that thing is this cost and that there's a sale on and whatever it may be. So maybe that sort of sidesteps that problem. By the way, just for the record, Taco says that he would never punch the Associated Press.
He's lying. He's lying.
Associated Press.
He's absolutely lying.
Andrew missed that entirely, but it doesn't matter. We'll just let that go over his head. But no, he's much bigger. Stay away from Taco. He's vast.
And younger.
For what it's worth, Andrew, you're much taller than I am.
Yeah. I'm just seeing if there's any other comments. Do you know what's curious? It's always the AI conversation which gets the comments. It's always that seems to be everybody's got
in our lives daily. Have you ever known a subject that has been so insidiously injected into our conversations?
Football.
Yeah, football. I used to ban when I had a printing company, you couldn't talk about football at 9 o'clock on Monday morning, because people would fight in the print machine room.
It's football or AI, yeah. But it's genuinely, everybody's so curious about it. Nobody knows what's going on, and it's such an interesting, you know, the possible future horizons are so intriguing. It's absolutely fascinating.
It's like the fear factor, do you think?
Yeah. Maybe.
Some of that. I say it's much broader than just WordPress, too.
Yep.
You know, there's parts and nooks and crannies of everyday life that people have worked AI into as well, that, you know, we all kind of have a stake in it one way or another. I mean, I could ask the rest of my family who are not tech people, but my wife has worked using ChatGPT into her teaching, and my daughters both use AI to do research and get help with, you know, some school stuff, but also just random whatever curiosities they have.
Yeah.
I'm a little nervous about, to be honest, but
I am so conflicted, Marcus.
Far outside the WordPress space.
We have an actual Slack channel which is use AI daily. We are instructed to use AI daily to really learn it deeply, because we've obviously integrated AI in it with the agentic stuff that's going on with it. So we need to know what's going on with AI as well. So
here's a curious thing, right? I've never done this before, but I subscribe to this search engine called Kaggy. So I've ditched Google. I pay for Kaggy, and it's $108 a year or something like that. And one of the features that Kaggy has, much like Google, I'm sure, is this summarize. So you go to this page, and it has nothing but this one field where you paste the URL, and it will summarize the content of that. And for the first time this week, I thought to myself, I should use that. I'll summarize what each of the articles that I've decided we're going to look at is, and I'll paste it into the show notes. I couldn't read it. It made no sense to me. It was like this perfect little paragraph, but when I read it, all the context had gone, all of the sort of humanity of, like, you know, the bits that Yoast wanted to point out, all of it got lost somehow. It was just this little paragraph.
The nuance goes.
And also just the styling, the presentation, the layout, the bullet points. And I pasted in two of them, read them, and then thought, well, I'm never doing that again. And that is not about the Kaggy summarizer. That's just me and summaries. It turns out I can't make head nor tail of summaries. I have to read the original thing. That's just the way my brain
works. This is really sad. I wrote an email to a client, and he wrote back and said, did you use AI to write this email? And it was a proposal. And I really did not use AI to write it. So I turned into an AI.
Yeah.
I did put it through an AI checker. And it came out as human, but he just said it just read as AI,
Did you use an M-dash?
I didn't. Gosh. No. I think it was just the formality of it. When there's money involved, you have to be very formal in your, mm-hmm. in yeah. your language, careful. You know, because you, mm-hmm. you've got to have that nuance or take nuance out, basically. So, yeah, mm-hmm. it was ambiguity-free, and I think that's why we thought it was, and you know, I've written to Marcus before. He knows I write in contractual terms. I write in a very formal way because it's just, because you can get involved in Faustian contracts and stuff, and you don't really want to get involved in all that nonsense, you know, with your little nuances. But yeah, I was accused of being an AI myself.
Well, that's going to be the title of this episode, Faustian Contracts, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, there's plenty of those going around, I'll tell you.
I don't even know what a Faustian contract is. So
it's a deal with the devil, isn't it?
Oh, Faust, of course. Right. Yeah, that makes sense. A deal with the devil. Right. Yeah. But anyway, so that was curious for me that I used a summarizer and it just didn't stick. The content, whilst much more straightforward and simple for me to read and quicker, it just didn't work. So I'm putting that all in the bin. Right. Okay. Let's move on slightly. We're not finished with AI, but we'll come back to it maybe in a minute or two. So this is to say, Tammy, who is in the comments. Tammy is a co-founder, along with Jonathan Wold and Luke Carbis, I think was one of the founders as well, of Gildenberg, which is a project that they've been running for 4 years now. They've had various iterations in different directions, but this is just to say that as of, it's either happened or it's going to happen very soon. Yes, it says it's now official. It has happened. That is being put on ice. Gildenberg will be no more. And congratulations to Tammy and to Jonathan Wold, who have been taken on by Convezio. Jonathan will be the chief business development officer, and Tammy will be the chief product officer, and Luke Carbis. It doesn't look like he's joining Convezio. It says that he will continue his role as full-time contributor to WordPress. Oh, maybe he will. Maybe that's a role under the Convezio stewardship. So, Tammy, clarity on that would be interesting to know. So maybe it's all three of them that have been taken on and not just two of them. So anyway, congratulations. Bravo. Nice to hear that you've got yourself a full-time gig going into the year 2026. That's excellent news. Well done. Okay, right, the next one, we're back to the repository. And this is a sort of AI-related thing. We had something like this the other day. This is to say that the plugin review team are getting kind of deluged, let's go with that. The word is doubled. WordPress plugin team reviewed record 12,713 plugins in 2025 as submissions doubled. Not quite doubled. It says here further in the article, a 40.6% increase in the previous year. Presumably, AI is the culprit of this. And I don't really have anything to add to it. You can see that I've highlighted various bits and pieces. But obviously, this is a problem that we are going to have to deal with as a community. If that trajectory keeps doubling, at some point, you know, we'll have like a million submissions a year. And we do like to manually check them. And although there's lots of technology in the background to make sure those checks are as efficient as possible, at the end of the day, we have humans in that loop. And if that just sort of continues, slightly gallingly, there's this whole thing, and I think it's something like 30. Here we go. This is one thing that I want to mention. One ongoing challenge remains. So if your plugin is declined, they will send you an email, which you then respond to. 38.7% of plugins receive no formal reply from the authors. And that is a bit of a danger. If we get to the point where 40% of the submissions, it's so self-evidently they're not really that bothered. They just clicked a button in the AI. It submitted. It wasn't accepted. Move on. Don't even reply to the email. That really is, you know, 40% of these people's time seemingly wasted, which is, I don't know.
You need to get tough. You need to get tough. And you just say straight away you're not, you know, after a period of time, because I used to have a commercial plugin marketplace, to be aware. And if a developer didn't reply within 3 working days, they were rejected and couldn't submit again.
I suppose the issue though isn't that. It's that if the trajectory is 40%, let's say that into the future, let's say that next year we get the same doubling and we get 24,000 plugin submissions, roughly 40% of which we know won't get responses to. That's like, you know, that's 10,000 plugin submissions that are just consuming oxygen
time
for no reason. So I don't know what you do about that, whether there's got to be some sort of process, I don't know, deeper process of setting up an account which can submit a plugin, or I don't know, in all honesty.
You do have an account, don't you? It's your WordPress.org account.
Yes, but how hard would it be to let's say spoof that, or, you know, recycle somebody's old account, or having had an account but then you've moved into the AI sphere and you're recycling it, but you're no longer the sort of, I don't know, the back and forth human that you were a few years ago. I don't know. I don't have an answer, but it's not great. And there we go. 40%. Wow. Indeed. Right. So that was that. Next one. Oh, Playground. Okay. Lots of Playground. I don't know if any of you use Playground, but Playground has gone from this fairly kind of did one thing and did it. It was an amazing technology at the time. It's becoming more and more useful. I've got two pieces that I'm going to link to in the show notes. This is the first one. It's over at WordPress.org. It's a news piece. And then there's this one. 3 new updates to WordPress Playground from December 2025. So this isn't brand new, but I missed it last week, so I thought I'd mention it. And this is just UI stuff, really. If you're using Playground, you might have seen these. And if you haven't used Playground, maybe it's a good excuse to go back if it sort of fell short for you. There's now this sort of dedicated panel, this sort of like home screen dashboard kind of thing. If you sort of, you know, haven't used it for a while, this is now available. You can also now save. Well, you get a nag if you're thinking you're going to close the tab or something. In the past, there was nothing to stop that happening, and you'd lose all your work. In most cases, there's now this sort of nag to stop you doing it. And now you've got this what feels a little bit like, what's it called, command palette or something like that. There's a faster navigation with these quick access links. So a few nice little improvements from the team over there. And then this article just talks about it in a little more depth, how it's faster, how it combines with other tools, and what's coming in the future. But
I don't understand why every WordPress developer doesn't use this.
It's great, isn't it? Yeah.
I love Playground.
Yeah. The compatibility also, there was something that if you're a plugin developer and you've got a plugin on the WordPress.org repo, you can obviously now have the button where somebody can start a Playground instance. There was quite a lot of edge cases where that just failed and something went wrong.
If you've got a callback in it, and if you've sassified your plugin, it won't work, because normally you have to go through a secure connection, and Playground is secure, but it might not feel that it wants to link to your particular situation because it's browser-based, right? So
here we go. So this is the figure. 99% of the top 1,000 plugins, so that's the claim that they're making, can be installed and activated successfully. So I don't know how that spreads to the best, the most popular 2,000 or 10,000 or whatever, but, you know, progress is being made on that front. So, yeah, That's nice.
It's all good.
Okie doke. Anything on that before I move on?
Just well done, playground people.
Yeah. Who would have thought, when Adam Zelensky first kind of invented the idea? Yeah, really amazing. Like, just so clever. I remember thinking about it at the time when it came out.
Because, that was announced at WordCamp, wasn't it, Playground?
I believe so, yeah, a couple of years
ago. Was it a hackathon?
I don't remember, it wasn't long ago,
was it?
No, it was a guy. He's a Polish guy. I think he's Polish. He's called Adam Zelensky, and he just turned his attention to it. I think it was during a Christmas holiday a few years ago. He just thought, can this be done?
Can we run it in the browser?
Just did it. Within a surprisingly short amount of time, got some basic functionality together. And I think whoever is in charge of the automatic hiring process, he was obviously an automatician already, just said, right, stop what you're doing, get on with this, because we can see this has got a great future. So that's exactly what they did. And as of last time I spoke to Adam, there was a team of five working on it. I don't know if that's expanded by now, possibly has. But there are lots of bodies on the ground making it work, as you can see, better.
And everybody will have their own opinion, of course, but I feel like the progress that's been made on it has been very logical steps let's just get this thing working, to now you can save blueprints, to now you can save your own instances, all very logical progression, which isn't always the case.
I don't know. Back in October, Tammy, who was in the comments earlier, Tammy did this project called Blocktober, where she released a block each day of the month of October, and she leveraged Playground so that, you basically click a button and you would get a WordPress install and you'd see that block. Playground and Telex, that was the combination. It was really ideal. Yeah, it was perfect. Okay, so there's that. Right, next one then. We don't need to go into the weeds of this, just to say that Justin Tadlock is very frequently producing these What's New for Developers articles. And indeed, that's the case here. So he covers literally what's new for developers. So I'll just go through a few highline items, the highlights, as he calls them. Responsive grid block with set columns. I'm not going to go into the text. The dedicated font library admin screen looks fairly nice. Build blocks with PHP, new image cropper package.
That's a big deal. You're just skirting.
I am, because of time.
That is a big deal. Because you don't have to learn React now. You don't have to learn another language.
Yes. Thank you. You are right to pull me up. It's just we got 7 minutes left and there's so much more to cover. Yeah, I know. Get on with it. Basically, if you're a developer, sign up to this, get the RSS feed and consume these as and when they come up. If you're watching this and you want to have a quick look, there's the highlights of that particular post. I should have put that one up further in the list. I think you're right, Andrew. Sorry about that. That's the way it goes.
As long as you're
okay. Brother. Missing a few out. Here we go. This is another one. If you're a WooCommerce user, be wary. It may affect your SEO, I guess. The permalink structure is about to change. It's pretty simple. If you had a product featured in two different categories in the past, it would go to the parent category. So if you had it in, you can see there was a perfect example somewhere. Here you go. Perfect. If there were two categories, like electronics, phones, or electronics product name, it would just pick one of them. Now it's going to go to the longest one, basically, the one with the most parent items. And that obviously may affect, if you've got a very big store and you've got multiple products, you might need to figure out what's going on there. It will make sensible choices for you, but you need to know what those sensible choices are. And you need to obviously, update your URLs in various different places if you're featuring those kind of things. What else have we got?
Quick note there that it looked like there was also a filter to reverse that if you did not like that change. That's always important.
This rolled out, this piece is saying that it's coming in 10.5 version of WooCommerce. I don't know when that actually is dropping or if it has indeed dropped already. But anyway, just struck me as fairly substantially important if you've got a massive catalog of products and you want to know exactly where they're to be found in the near future. Right, events. Here we go. A few, we mentioned these before, but nice to know. Call for speakers. If you're thinking of going to Krakow later in the year, WordPress Europe, Poland, you can speak there. There's an application button on the website. Next one is you can buy tickets for that event as well now. They're selling in batches. Looks like The current batch. Oh, no. So there's still quite a lot available. €50 is the cost of that at the moment if you go for the general admission ticket. So get your ticket. And also, just to mention that this isn't like a regular WordCamp. This is an event run by Rodolfo Milogli. It's called Checkout Summit. I mentioned it a few weeks ago. It's being held at what can only be described as like a holiday resort. So, you know, pack your swimmers. And it's happening between April the 23rd and the 24th. And
beautiful Palermo, Italy.
Busy.
Yeah, sorry about that. And well, they're announcing their first tranche of speakers.
It's a great place.
Palermo. There was a, here we go. Let's click on the when and where tab. I mean, that's like literally where it is. Look at that.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah. I wonder where the speaking is going to happen. Presumably inside, but it'd be kind of nice to do it by the pool.
In the pool, yeah.
In the pool, yeah. That'd be great. Bring out the whiteboard. Anyway, so that's, if you wish to be a part of that, I was mentioning it because now you've got a first glimpse of who it is that's going to be speaking. But obviously, you know, networking and all of that in the WooCommerce space would be highly interesting. But there's some of the speakers happening, and the tickets are still available. I don't know where. Oh, yeah, tickets. There's a big orange button just there. How much do they cost? Let's have a quick look. They are obviously more expensive than the chapter program things. $279 for a standard ticket. And if you want to be a micro sponsor, it's $497. But you'd obviously have to get yourself to, where did I say? Palermo in Italy. In the month of April. Okay. Right. We've got very, very little time. So I'm just going to drop this one in because I think it's curious. I love space. Who doesn't love space? Let's be honest. But I really do enjoy looking at space. But I've never seen this website before. If you want to look at what the Hubble Space Telescope is looking at right now, and the same with the James Webb Space Telescope, if you fancy looking at what they're doing at this exact moment, you can do that. You can just click on the button. And usually it's not that interesting. It's just like a bunch of dots. But occasionally,
you need a screenshot of a starfield.
Exactly. It's like, there we go. But you can sort of go back in time as well if you fancy looking at, you know, what has happened in the past. And sometimes you'll go there, refresh the page, and it's just looking at something just crazily interesting. The James Webb Telescope is sort of like a slightly different thing because it's working in bandwidth. Working on infrared, as far as I know. But anyway, there you go. If you want to go and stare into space,
cool.
Like your high school teachers were always accusing you of, now you can actually go and do that. Yeah. And the very last one, just before we go, is although it's a rival, we all love Drupal. You know, it's got the same intentions as WordPress. And Dries Buytaert, who is the founder. I don't think he's a co-founder. I think he is the founder of Drupal. Yeah. He released it's older than WordPress. It's 25. It's already made that leap. And so he's put together a list of 25 things that he's learned from being the custodian of that project and leading that project. And all I can say is he is remarkably cool. If you read it, like, he's just a solid, really decent human being. That's what I get out of it anyway. You know, very thoughtful, lots of mistakes made, lots of things that went right, lots of things that went wrong, very frank, very honest. And I can't imagine exactly the pressures that you get from running something like that. So there you go check it out. I will link to that in the show notes. And in answer to your private chat, yes, I think we are, Andrew, gonna miss that one out because Tom has beaten us, I'm afraid. And I'm a coward. Let's just leave it that way. So that's it.
Be fine.
Yeah, thank you. That story could come back any week, couldn't it? Everybody's curious. But that's it. That's all we've got time for. We've reached our allotted 90 minutes. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you for dropping in. If you did, if you put a comment in there, thank you very much. I will owe you something. next time I see you. But yeah, thank you for all of the people that have made comments. Love it. And then some people are just joining us. Okay. Yeah, we're just about to finish. Sorry about that. And yeah, that's it. So thank you to Michel Fichette. Thank you to Andrew Palmer. And thank you to Marcus Bennett. I can never do it. There we go. Mark. Yeah, thanks, Marcus.
You got it.
Thanks to Marcus Bennett. Yes, every time. So when you put the USB cable in, you do it three times every time. You know the old ones, the rectangular ones? First time right, mm-hmm. but you can't get it in. Second
Only
time
three
wrong.
Three times.
Third time right again, but it goes in this time.
Yeah.
Right, in which case we've got to do the stupid hand wave thing that we do every week, if that's all right with the three of you. Give us a smile, give us a wave. Oh, thank you, Michelle.
Oh, she's doing a heart.
Yeah, she's doing it. Oh, and it does the hearts. God, that's pretty cool.
You're a heart.
Yeah, I'm going to try that. I think I've got it switched off in Mac OS. Mine, you know, we obviously don't have as much love as Michelle. We will be back this time next week, but thanks for joining us. Oh, showing off now.
Now it's all the drinks.
We'll see you next time. Take it easy. Bye-bye for now. Bye.